items in front of the cross, and those items will be given to the food pantry to help reach out to those in our community that benefit from that service. We want to highlight next Sunday is the youth and sandwich. Youth are having a soup and sandwich fundraiser, and you know the youth will be traveling to NYC next year, so we truly appreciate everyone who comes out for the youth soup and sandwich fundraisers. We also want to just make sure you have your calendars marked for November 4th. That's our annual Christmas bazaar, and that's from 8 to 1 p.m., and they're looking for lots of baked goods, and then tables, if you would like to sell any items, just contact Sally Emmerich, and you can reserve a spot for $10. And again, annual Christmas bazaar, November 4th, and everyone is invited to that. We also want to highlight the youth are headed on a corn maze this afternoon at 4 p.m. So if you're in senior high youth, we encourage you to come here to the church and they'll provide rides for you to head to a corn maze and you'll have an enjoyable time as senior high youth gathering together. This coming week, we have our hay ride and we'll have campfire available. You want to make your own hot dog or marshmallow, we would be more than happy to let you do that, but we'll have some provided for you as well. So this Saturday, 6 o'clock, that begins here at the pavilion at Little Swatara, and we want to invite our listeners to come join us for that as well. We also just want to highlight Sunday, October 29th. If you're 60 years or older, that is our Golden Age Dinner, and they invite you to sign up. Entertainment is Keith Brinsonhoff, thank you, Brinsonhoff. And so we look forward to the Golden Age Dinner, Sunday, October 29th. And if you're able to sign up, we would definitely appreciate that. Are there any other announcements we would like to highlight? There is no men's ministry, but they are looking for several volunteers to help with the Ziegler sale, and they also are looking for baked goods. So I know there's a lot of good bakers in our congregation, so be sure to bring baked goods for the Ziegler sale, as well as help in any capacity you are willing to do so. You'll notice also there's a Brethren Disaster Ministries trip being organized. It's in March, but we want to get that out there. We'd like to see 15 people from our congregation go and contact Gary Bayshore if you're willing to go on a Brethren Disaster Ministry trip. And that's in Marion County, South Carolina, March 4th to the 10th. And minimum age for that is 15 years old, but we would love to have a full team to be able to go help in that disaster ministry. Any other announcements we'd like to highlight this morning? It's a complete joy being here. The senior choir will be welcoming us to this place with a song called A Welcome Place.
Oh,
want to take a moment and just pray for the harvest that has been brought to our congregation to deliver to the food pantry, and then we'll open it up for joys and concerns. Would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the givers in this congregation, the ones that have brought non-perishable food items to be given to our local food pantry. And Father, you know the hands that will be receiving these gifts. And we pray, Father, that they would be able to use them to nourish their bodies and to strengthen their families. And we just thank you, Father, for each family in this community. And we pray that we would continue to uplift them and support them in these causes. And just thank you, Father, for this Harvest Home Sunday in which we responded to the call to bring goods to help in this cause. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There'll be a microphone coming around. If anyone has any joys or concerns to share, we just ask you to put your hand in the air and we'll get a microphone to you.
I'd just like to lift up Ruth Hoover. She's been moved to Spancrest Nursing Home, and she'd appreciate cards.
We want to highlight Ruth Conover as well. She is at Town Center, so Ruth Conover is now at Town Center as well.
I would like prayers for my grandson, Dustin. That's all I'll ask for.
Dorothy Renninger with her congestive heart failure and her diabetes. It's getting worse, okay.
I'd like to have prayer for our neighbor. His name is Rick. He's just been diagnosed with bone cancer.
Let's pray. Father, we come before you with pressing needs upon our hearts. And Father, we know that you are aware of them before we even speak them. We know, Father, that you created us each in our mother's womb. You knew us before we were even born. And we thank you for that knowledge. But Father, we recognize traveling through this life, we face many trials, we face many temptations, we see tragedy all around us. And ourselves, we face suffering and illness. And Father, we come before you this morning and we just place those things into your loving arms. Arms that are strong enough to hold us. Arms that are strong enough to support us through these trying times. And Father, you know specifically what's happening in each of our lives, and we pray that you would enable us to come to you, to draw closer to you in those times. We know it's often tempting to try to go through this life on our own, but we recognize brothers and sisters gathered here that support one another, pray for one another, and we just lift each of our lives up before you, and we ask you to move in our midst, and we thank you, Father, for being an active God, a God that is always on the move in our situations. We thank you, Father, for the Gutierrez family and ask for the friends and family of Ben that have passed away, that you would continue to nurture them. You would continue to bring them peace and continue to bring them comfort. We think of Ben and the life that he led and just the joy that he brought to so many and pray that we would continue to live that legacy onward. And we just thank you, Father, for the support of this community and the school responding to help those students that are dealing with that loss. We think, Father, of a young man, that is dealing with issues in his life that are unspoken, but Father, you know what they are, and we lift Dustin to you and just pray that you would be with him now and just lead him, guide him, direct him, help him to know you in a deeper, more powerful way. And we just thank you, Father, for our salvation, knowing that you carry us in times when we can't carry ourselves, and help us to lean on you, Father. We thank you for Ruth Hoover, and just thank you for Ruth Conover, and for Jean Smith, and Dorothy Renninger, and for Annetta Keeney. We thank you for Eugene and Mary Stump and Carol and Pete Sanchez. And we thank you for Earl and Grace Miller and Carl and Faye Bosbaugh. And thank you, Father, for Ruth and John Hoover, and pray that you would continue to be alongside them and let them know your presence in a very powerful way as they deal with various illnesses and as they recover. And just thank you, Lord, for modern medicine and the way it works with our faith. And we just pray that doctors that we are seeing would be guided and directed by your Spirit, that they would be able to provide the best solution for our situations we find ourselves in. We think of the disasters across this nation, and we just lift up those victims and continue to pray that we as Christians and we as individuals would respond, whether it be with an offering or whether it would be with a helping hand, and just guide us, Lord, to what you would have us do. And we just thank you, Father, for each marriage that is represented here this morning. We celebrate with Tyler and Kylia Snyder on their recent wedding and just ask you to be present in their relationship and help each of us as married couples to grow closer together by knowing you deeper and deeper. We just thank you, Father, for loving us. We thank you, Father, for forgiveness. And we thank you most of all for the salvation that you have offered through the cross. But we do recognize as we partake of that salvation, there's responsibilities that come along with that. And we pray this day as we discuss spiritual gifts that you would open our eyes to be able to see what giftedness you had given, have given each of us. And we pray we would use those gifts to further your kingdom and to uplift each other. And we pray all these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join in singing "In Christ Alone." The words will be on the screen.
Our offertory thought this morning comes from 1 Chronicles 29:17. The New Living Translation reads, "I know, my God, that you examine our hearts and rejoice when you find integrity there. You know I have done all this with good motives, and I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. You see, God knows our hearts for better or for worse. He knows. He understands us more deeply than we may want to believe. While others cannot know our motives, God does. So the pressure is off, my friends. No need for pretense or excuses. No need to apologize. Just give your best, whether grand or small, and God will rejoice. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this incredible opportunity to give. We know, Father, there are extremely generous givers within this congregation, but we know there are givers who give sacrificially all that they can, and we rejoice knowing they're doing so cheerfully. We thank you, Father, for the life that you've brought to this church. We thank you for each individual that is gathered here this morning, and we pray abundant, abundant blessings upon them. And it's in the name of Jesus, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
invite any other children to come join me up front. How many of you have ever heard the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? How many of you think words can hurt? Boys and girls, words do hurt. And they can also be encouraging. I know I can remember when I was younger, someone said something to me, and I still remember how much it hurt. There's a verse in the Bible that talks about encouraging one another. It says, encourage one another and build each other up. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. I looked up the word encourage in the dictionary. Even though I already know what it meant, I just wanted to get a better understanding of it. Well, the word encourage means give courage, hope, or confidence to give support to, or help. Don't let anyone tell you that you're too young to tell someone something encouraging. Because you know what? The Bible says that you're never too young. I'm going to give each of you a small piece of paper, and it has something encouraging written on it. I'm going to read it to you, some of them, as I pass it to you. Yours says, keep on smiling. Good work. Awesome. You are amazing. Keep on smiling. You are amazing. You are amazing. Keep on smiling. I can't reach. All right, just keep passing them down. That one says, keep on smiling. Keep on smiling. You are amazing. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And keep on smiling. Does everyone have one?
Yeah.
Yes? I have a goal for you guys this week.
What?
I want you to give that slip of paper to someone who you think needs encouraging, whether it be your parents, a sibling, a family member, or maybe even a teacher. Let's pray. Dear Lord, please lead each of these children to someone who needs encouraging this week. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You guys can go back to your seats. Thanks for joining me.
So there's a story about three sons who left home and went out to make their marks on the world. And well, they did rather well. So one day, the sons are talking about different ways they were able to pay back their elderly mother for all their generous sacrifices she made. The first son said, I built Mom a big house. The second son said, I bought her a new Cadillac, and I even got her someone to be her personal chauffeur. The third son said, well, you remember how Mother enjoys reading the Bible? You know she can't see very well now. So I purchased her a remarkable parrot that recites the entire Bible. It took the elders in the church 12 years to teach him. All Mom has to do is name the chapter and the verse, and the parrot recites it. Well, it was shortly thereafter, and their mother sent out three notes to the sons. To the first son, she wrote, "The house you built, it's so large, and I only live in one of the rooms. But thanks to you, I have to clean the entire house." To the second son, she wrote, "You know, I'm actually too old to travel. I stay at home most of the time, so I don't even use the Cadillac. And that driver you hired, man, does he have attitude." And to the third son, she was so appreciative. She wrote, "That cute, little, colorful chicken you sent me, It was delicious. I've never tasted anything like it, she kept saying. But it quoted scripture as I was trying to cook it, and it said, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. You know, friends, today's a great day to start a new series. And we're going to be talking about unique gifts that God has given to each of us. Would you turn to your neighbor and say, I've got a gift? Turn to your other neighbor and say, I've got a gift. But you don't only have a gift, you have a gift that has been uniquely designed for you. Now, it's easy for us to point out the benefits we receive with salvation. But have we ever thought about the responsibilities that come with it? When people ask about spiritual gift, it's often, do you know what your spiritual gift is? Or have you taken the spiritual gift survey? Now, I'm not discrediting that. That's very important, but we often can lose sight of God's design. So friends, there's two Greek words I want to share with you that describe the gifts of the Spirit. Pneumatica, say that with me, which refers to their source, the Holy Spirit, pneuma of God. And charismata, say that with me, which refers to the fact that they're granted as an act of God's grace, charis. So since they've been given by grace, we're reminded they're not based on our own worthiness or personal abilities, but based on God's sovereign choice. So if you're still with me this morning, say, yup, yup. Awesome. So exactly what does the Bible mean when it speaks of a spiritual gift? Paul writes this in 1 Corinthians 12:1. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit's brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. So first things first, spiritual gifts are not to be confused with the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians 5:22. Let's see how well we remember them. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Secondly, spiritual gifts are not equivalent to personality type. And finally, they're not naturally given abilities that we receive at birth. God's word actually makes a clear distinction between a natural ability and a spiritual gift. But friends, let's not forget that God deeply values our natural abilities. The Bible says so. Exodus 31, 6-11. I have given special skill to all the naturally talented craftsmen so they can make all the things I have instructed you to make, the tabernacle itself. 1 Samuel 17, 49-50. Reaching into his shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it from his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face downward to the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine giant with only a stone and a sling. And in 1 Chronicles 6:31 to 32, David assigned the following men to lead the music at the house of the Lord. After he put the ark there, they ministered with music there at the tabernacle. Friends, that is a clear distinction. Spiritual gifts are given by God at rebirth. Some are even given later, but it's part of living that new life in Christ. So what do we do with what? What's the purpose of a spiritual gift anyway? If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 5. 1 Thessalonians 3, verses 1 to 5. So when we could stand it no longer, we thought it best to be left by ourselves in Athens. We sent Timothy, who is our brother and co-worker in God's service in spreading the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you in your faith. so that no one would be unsettled by these trials. For you know quite well that we are destined for them. In fact, when we were with you, we kept telling you that we would be persecuted. And it turned out that way, as you well know. For this reason, when I could stand it no longer, I sent to find out about your faith. I was afraid that in some way the tempter had tempted you and that our labors might have been in vain. So friends, the text is very clear that spiritual gifts are intended for strengthening others. God has given each of us a gift to give courage, to strengthen others. And that simply means to help their faith, as we've been talking in weeks past, give way to the storms. One thing's for certain, spiritual gifts are not our own. We cannot hold on to them. They're intended to be given away, to edify, to uplift, encourage. Does anyone remember the group Red Hot Chili Peppers? Anyone remember that group? They had this cool song that went like this. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. And friends, that is what must happen with our gifts. They must go. They cannot remain with us. And you know what happens? People around us, when we begin utilizing our gifts, realize we need one another. There's a story about a man who went to buy a hamburger for lunch. And the young lady behind the counter says, "Do you want fries with that?" And the man answers, "Why, yes, I would like fries." So the lady scoops the fries from under the heat lamp. Now, she couldn't have gotten the fries if someone hadn't delivered them by truck. The truck driver couldn't have delivered them unless someone had grown the potatoes and taken them to a market. The fries couldn't have been taken from the market and delivered by truck unless someone had made boxes to carry them. And the boxes wouldn't be available unless there was a building to make those boxes. That building could never have worked without a machine. And the machine wouldn't be available without an engineer to design that machine. Now the engineer is working on the design of the machine when he notices that it's lunchtime. He drives to the nearest fast food restaurant, and guess what he does? He orders a hamburger. And you know what the lady asked? "Do you want fries with that?" Friends, everyone in that story is important. Some may make more money, some may have more prestige, but if you left any single person out of that circle, there would be no fries, and that would be a very sad day. But the point is this: certain gifts may be in the background, but they are not any less important. You see, as a matter of fact, they're critical to the church accomplishing the work of God to his glory. But in the world we live, we know that this is countercultural. We've been conditioned since childhood to equate maturity with independence. Teenagers want nothing more than to be free. But 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this: "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" But what's happening in churches today is that spiritual gifts are being used a lot like a football game. There's hundreds, even thousands of people in the stands in desperate need of exercise, but they're watching 22 people play ball who are in desperate need of rest. And the result is this: when we don't use our spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, there are very good people who suffer. Now, this isn't meant to make us feel guilty. There are many among us blessing the congregation with using their spiritual gift. It's only a challenge to do what with what. The what is the task and the what is the gift. Take time, dear friends, to pray about becoming the person who prays about allowing the Holy Spirit to recreate you from the inside out. There's going to be times the human nature would rather tear down than build up. We're taught to take the path of least resistance. It's easier to criticize and gossip than create a fruitful change. But the Bible makes it clear. God gave each of us a spiritual gift that was intended to strengthen others' faith, especially when those storms come. So I invite us, dear friends, to ask God every morning to grant that at the end of the day, someone's life and someone's faith would be strengthened because of meeting us. Ephesians 4:12 defines it like this: to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, it was rather interesting in my studies this week. Nowhere in the New Testament does Paul define a spiritual gift. But he goes on to say that gifts are used to edify, to build up those around them. I can't help it. Peanuts cartoons always seem to make my week go better. And Lucy demands that Linus change a TV channel. He's threatening him with her fist if he doesn't. And Linus says, "What makes you think you can walk right in here and take charge?" And Lucy says, "These five fingers. Individually, they're nothing. But when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold." "Which channel do you want?" Linus asked. Then turning away, he looks at his own fingers and he says, "Why, fingers, why can't you guys get organized like that?" You see, when the church is organized, things get done. You see, friends, when we use our spiritual gifts as God intended, the church becomes an unstoppable force. Hebrews 12:28-29, "Since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be destroyed, let us be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Amen and amen. So it's time to get practical. The title of today's message is "Do What with What?" It's critical that we ID our own spiritual gifts and begin using them to strengthen and build each other up. But it's also critical to know the difference between the spiritual gifts listed in the New Testament before we actually use them. So here's what we're going to do. Say, yippee! During the next few weeks, we are going to unpack spiritual gifts. But for this week, I want us to know that there are three categories. Everyone say three. There's the supernatural. The supernatural gifts include wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, tongues, and interpretation. We could say that these gifts are supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit at work through a believer. There's a distinction to be made, though, with these gifts. It's actually the person being ministered to who receives the gift. The second category is ministry. Jesus presented these to people who were called and equipped to lead the body of Christ. These gifts are not personally possessed, but rather people defined as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then our final category is the practical gifts. Charisma is the original word used here. It's the same word used in 1 Peter 4:10. This would be the same category of gifts Peter was referring to when he encouraged us to manage our gifts well, to benefit one another. It's inevitable that God's word will match our gift with our passion. In the coming weeks, we're going to study these gifts and offer you an opportunity. Who loves opportunities? Well, friends, opportunity is knocking, and we will have a spiritual gift survey for you to complete. But I encourage us, do not do this alone. Let us be in prayer for one another and pray especially that God will reveal our gifts individually. And there's one thing that's guaranteed among many others. You will never be more satisfied in Jesus than dialing in to your spiritual gift. So friends, let's be all in and make this a year where we use our gifts. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for every single believer in this room. Thank you for those that are still pondering, still wondering what this Christian faith is all about. I pray, Father, that you would do a work within us. I pray that we would study those spiritual gifts. We would take that survey and we would learn what you are calling us to do. And we pray, Father, together we would lift each other up. We would build up this church all for your glory. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, that we pray. Amen.
Please rise and join in singing. They'll know we are Christians by our love. The words are on the screen.